owning real estate outright, it's just a way to own an asset or a business. So don't focus on how you own that business. Focus on owning the right business, whether it's privately or whether it's through the stock market, because the stock market is nothing different but the ability to own a piece of a business.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. I am Javier Hinojo, your host of The Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing, and actually just The Naked Truth on Investing, because today we have Mario on the show, and he's going to talk about where he invests with where others can't or won't. And he'll talk a little bit about that. He also has a background in real estate with Marcus Millichap. I used to do a multifamily as well in the past, but I'll let him introduce himself to you guys.
Yeah. Hey, Javier. Thanks for having me. So my name is Mario Skoniecny. I'm from Microcap Explosions. That's my main website, and Classic Valley Investors. And as you pointed out, my investing career actually started in real estate. Today, I am full-time microcap investor. In other words, focused on small companies trading on secondary exchanges. But I started in real estate. I graduated college in 2003. And that was around the time when Poor Dad, Rich Dad books became popular. So I kind of got a hold of that and became interested in real estate. And I figured, hey, probably the best way to do it is to, I didn't have any money, so let's learn how to value real estate. So I became a real estate appraiser on the residential side. And then a few years later, I moved up to the commercial real estate side where I appraised apartments, office buildings, mixed-use properties, mobile home parks. And then at some point, I got my broker's license and I worked at Marcus & Millichap, which is a big brokerage firm focused on commercial real estate, income producing real estate. And I worked under a team that we sold larger apartment buildings in the Midwest. And it was kind of people from California and Arizona were interested in getting a little bit better returns. So they would come and invest in Midwest, where the returns were, cap rates were a little bit better than everywhere else. And when 2008, 2009 financial crisis hit, I was already very heavily interested in investing in the stock market. And that's when I left the real estate industry to go full-time into investing in the stock market. Again, mainly focused on smaller companies because I have very little competition there. And I've done it for the past 12, 13 years. And now I am kind of circling back into real estate to see if I can take some of the profits that I made to maybe turn it into hard assets and some recurring revenues that is completely unrelated to the stock market.
So you were doing real estate, commercial apartment buildings around 2008, 2007, 2009?
That's right.
In the Midwest. So do you recall what the cap rates were back then? Like say in Cleveland, something like that?
You always have these locations where you have prime apartment locations and then you have maybe like the secondary ones. So the prime locations were always low. The cap rates, they were already in the six and a half. But if you were willing to go maybe into the secondary locations, maybe not the major cities, then you could get, 8-9% back then.
Yep. You can still do that now, but you got to go really far away.
Yeah.
Really far away.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. You graduated college in 2003 and you've always been interested in stocks, right? But why didn't you go into stocks directly? Why did you go into real estate?
Well, it had a lot to do with the Poor Dad, Rich Dad.
Okay.
And I was kind of doing both at the same time, but he kind of steered me towards that more. And then I learned, you have to kind of do what you want, where your passion is. I learned that I didn't have as much passion for the real estate as I did for stocks, but I did learn a lot from real estate because when you analyze deals, whether it's single families or multifamilies, you request books and records, you request the rent roll. And when you get this information, depending on the owner, it's like a complete mess. You have to reconstruct everything to make sure that you're including all the expenses because the owner, conveniently forgets to tell you that his uncle is doing the repairs and maintenance and it doesn't show up on the expense. So you have to kind of reconstruct everything. You have to properly account for vacancy, for capital improvements, how does the repair and maintenance compare to other properties in the area? And is it too high? Is it overstated? Is it understated? And then also with taxes and insurance, whatever the taxes or insurance are for the current owner doesn't mean they're going to be the same for you. And when the sale happens, is the evaluation at the assessor, is it going to change? Or is it going to stay the same? So you kind of have to roll up your sleeves and you have to like go through these numbers. You have to verify everything. You have to get on the phone with the assessor and discuss these things. So you do a lot of groundwork like this. And so that was very helpful for me because it taught me how to get on the phone, how to get information, how to search for information. And I kind of did this in the stock market with smaller companies because in the stock market, I always say it's always viewed the wrong way because there's this group, oh, we do real estate or we do the stock market. I always say that's not the right way to look at it. It's you can lose money in both situations. If you buy the wrong things, you're going to lose money. It doesn't matter if it's hard asset or not hard asset. So focus on what's behind the ticker symbol or what's because owning real estate outright privately, it's just a way to own an asset or a business because an apartment is nothing but a business. So don't focus on how you own that business. Focus on owning the right business, whether it's privately or whether it's through the stock market, because the stock market is nothing different but the ability to own a piece of a business. So with the smaller companies, you can really do a lot of work and roll up your sleeves and really uncover what's going on with these companies. And you can get the CEO on the phone. You can call the customers. You can really, really do a lot of work and uncover things that nobody else knows. And people that invest in the stock market, they just focus on the big names, Microsoft, Apple, Teslas, and they just listen to what the companies are telling them and they just take it at face value. And, you know, a lot of times these companies can't really tell you the whole picture that they would like to tell you because of certain disclosures or legal requirements. But when you are willing to pick up the phone, when you are willing to travel, when you're willing to talk to these individuals, I guarantee you they're going to tell you things about the business that nobody else knows. And that's where your edge comes in.
That's pretty interesting because tomorrow I'm traveling to look at apartment building. I'm actually taking my 17-year-old daughter so we can show her like, hey, you know, here's what's behind the curtains, right? This is what we're going to possibly buy, look at the area, the tenants, you know, just the building, amenities, what's planned in the future, you know, what's already there that's going to sustain it. So in a way, it's not that much different, right? Kind of what you're doing, right? You go and get on the phone or maybe you travel there and you find out the same thing about a company.
Right. You're absolutely right what you're saying. Yeah. You're going to travel because right now, the apartment building that you're going to travel to, you've seen it on the paper. You've seen the pictures of it. You know where it's located, but it's on your computer screen, right?
Yep.
And so you're going to travel there and you want to see it with your own eyes and be like, how's the area around it look? Do you see any Walmart or employment centers that will provide you with tenants? How does it look on the outside? Is it sketchy? What kind of cars are parked in the parking lot? I mean, it all matters because it will all impact your investment and also how management intensive it is. So you want to know what you're getting yourself into.
So when you're evaluating these companies that nobody's looking at, you kind of take the same approach.
Absolutely. Yep. But the first thing is that I would like to point out is that the reason why I go into the secondary exchanges like OTC Markets or Toronto Stock Exchange Venture or maybe Canadian Stock Exchange, I go there for one reason only, because I have very little competition. And from real estate, the question that I always say, if let's say you're buying a house, would you rather be buying a house in an environment where 20 other people are bidding on the property? Or would you rather be going directly to the owner and nobody else knows that the property is even for sale?
Yeah, right?
I mean, we can relate to this. And then if we're talking about selling a property, would you rather be selling it and not list it with an agent? Or would you rather list it with a popular agent that's going to expose it to the world?
Yep.
That's right? So it's so easy when it comes to the private world or real estate. But in the stock market, we take a different approach. We want to buy things that everybody wants, okay? We want to buy the Teslas. We want to buy the GameStops. We're interested in things that everybody else is talking about because we want to feel warm and cozy and we want others to agree with us. But that's not where the biggest money is made. The biggest money is made in places where you think for yourself. You go and you uncover these companies where very few people are listening or paying attention. And so when you look at the investment world, you have the retail investors and you have institutional investors. What do retail investors do? They chase Teslas, Bitcoins, GameStops of the world. That's where their attention is. That's what they focus on. Then institutional money is in the game of gathering assets under management. They want to manage as much as possible so that they can get their fees. And so when you are in a game of acquiring lots of assets, billion, 2 billion, 10 billion dollar under management, that's a lot of money. And if you have a lot of money, you have to go into places where you can fit that large amount of money into. So you are forced to go after the Microsoft, Apples, the big names that everybody else is chasing. Now, if you're working with smaller sums of money, 5,000, 10,000, million, two, even five, you can go into these places, secondary places, where they cannot fit into because they're too fat. They have too much money. And you do face competition, but you face barely any competition. A lot of times, these companies don't have any analysts covering them. You are the only one. You call the CEO and he probably didn't have a phone call from anybody for weeks. So you can uncover the story. You can find out the strategy. You can see the things that they're doing. Maybe they are in the middle of coming up with a new product that the market demands. And they are in the middle of it and the market doesn't quite understand how big it can get, what kind of solutions it solves. You can figure this out at the comfort of your own home. You have the time and buy it when nobody knows about it. And then if you successfully predicted the growth of the company, then you can be rewarded for this handsomely. And especially when you discover a company that's smaller and then eventually it graduates from a secondary exchange to NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange, where it will get the exposure and the recognition that it deserves, then the company would get re-rated and you would get rewarded for going in early when you know, nobody else was paying attention.
Cool. That's pretty neat because you're doing your due diligence in the back end. And it's very interesting what you said that you can call a COO and he hasn't received a call in a while. So, and they don't have an analyst actually analyzing or underwriting that company, giving it a value. So you're the one that's actually doing that.
Yeah. And, you know, and I learned from real estate that successful people, whether they own apartments or businesses, they're like lonely. Okay. They're lonely at the top. They have some employees. And you reach out to them, you're like, they just want to talk and talk and talk and tell you their story. And that's like what I've learned in real estate. You contact some of these owners and they will, yes, of course, some of them will, you know, not want to talk to you. But like you make enough phone calls, you will get invited to their office and they will just tell you their life story and how they do things because they just want to share their experience. And the same thing is with these companies. You have no chance getting a CEO of Apple on the phone. No chance. But when you call these smaller companies, like they will tell you their story. They will tell you how they started in a business, what they're looking for, what their philosophy is. And it's just, it's priceless.
You have a case study or something. You say, hey, look, a few years ago, I worked on this. I met this person. Maybe you did invest some money and, you know, it went well.
Yeah. So I have two case studies. I will share one case study that's already successfully played out. And I will share a case study that I'm currently in the middle of.
Okay.
So in 2017, I discovered this company called Oracle Resource. And I usually don't invest in mining companies, but this one was special because it had a copper project located in Mexico. And copper is interesting because now the entire world is going into electrification. Electric cars take four times as much copper as regular cars. So demand for copper is increasing while the supply is not keeping up. So properties that will solve this problem for the major mining companies, in other words, get them more copper production, are going to be valuable. So I discovered it in 2017. It was this company called Oracle. For 10 years, they were fighting a legal lawsuit because in 2000, this property, Santa Tomas Copper Project, the one, was sold from a Mexican gentleman to a crook. That crook bought the property from him and never paid him for the property. And the guy didn't have the money to get the property back, to hire all the lawyers, especially when this property was like involved in three different jurisdictions. Bahamas, it was in Mexico, so Mexico was involved, but one of the entities was in the US. So you have like three different jurisdictions. How do you fight this lawsuit? So Oracle came in and said, we're going to pay for the legal fees. We're going to solve this problem for you. And in return, we are going to earn 50% interest in your property. And this was a massive, massive copper property. It wasn't like property that nobody knew about. It was a property that was written in geological books for students to study. It was real. It was studied. It wasn't some pipe dream. So when I got involved, they just completed and they won the legals in Bahamas. So they got the property, but then the legal victory in Bahama had to have been accepted in Mexico. And in Mexico, you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy and it takes time for things to get done. So there was a big lag time and, you know, everything, like you have court days, it gets rescheduled 5 times. And so this had to get done because the property had to be registered in the proper name. It had to be taken from the crook and registered in the proper entity before the property can be moved forward. But then what was unique about this situation was that in Arizona or in the United States, Oracle owned the two entities that were fighting the lawsuit. It was weird. Like, how can you own the entities that are fighting the lawsuit? If you own them, you can just cancel the lawsuit. And so that's what the whole legal situation in Arizona was, that they were foreclosing or taking from receivership the ownership of the entity that they were fighting with in Mexico. So what I did is I studied the legal situation. I was buying legal documents from the Arizona court as they were being progressed, as they were being reported. Boom, I got on the phone. I want to buy this document. So I was getting like minute-to-minute updates on the legal situation, what was going on, and I could see that Oracle was winning every single step. Anything that the other party said, the judge was like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. No, no, no. So even though I didn't have any legal background, I wasn't a lawyer, it was so obvious that even a child could see it. But nobody was paying attention because people don't get involved in legal situations on public companies. But because I was doing it, I saw something that the market had no idea what was going on. And I was getting legal updates even before the management was getting them, even before the lawyers were getting them, because I was directly buying them from the courthouse. And I was even on the phone with the judge discussing the case. So when I saw that there was zero probability of them losing, I bought like $70,000 worth of stock. And then, of course, they won the legal battle. The property now is in the right hands. Now they are progressing it. In other words, they're expanding the resource, they're drilling, da-da-da. And so the long story short is I turned $70,000 into $6 million by doing this kind of work. And it was almost risk-free because I knew that they were going to win based on the work that I did. And now after they won the legal situation, so it was like a two-part success story. One was analyzing legals, and the second one was after the property was registered, because it was tied up in a legal battle for 20 years, the rules of the game changed in terms of the disclosure. So the property had to be reconfirmed through drilling to show that, yes, they have copper. We knew they had copper, but the reports had to be updated to the current mining standards because, again, they changed 20 years ago and the property was in the legal battle for 20 years. So the company needed money to drill and reconfirm this. So through my website, Microcap Explosions, a group of us got together and we pretty much raised about $13 million for the company to accomplish that. And we were not the only ones, but we were like most of the money that was raised. So in other words, because of our capital injection, the company was able to take the property from the historicals, and now they are in the middle of reconfirming and drilling. And as a result of our money, the value of the company went from, when I bought it, the value of the company was $3 million. It went to like $60 million just based on the legals. And then based on our capital injection, it went from $60 million to about $500 million. So that was a great, incredible story in the past.
In the past. So you turned $70K into $6 million. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And I still own the shares. I still own the shares. Yeah, right, because there's still more upside. Yeah.
In a span of a few years. And then the same company, right? You went in and brought in some investors and you brought in $13 million to that same company.
That's right.
Okay. And it took basically an evaluation, it's half a billion dollars. That's really, really interesting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these companies, like they don't get the proper valuation because they might lack something. They might not have the cash, because in order for us to go from this valuation to this valuation, we have to, it's going to cost us some money, right? So investors will look at it and they will say, well, they don't have the money to get it done. Well, we fixed that, right? We were the ones that came in and injected them with the money, and we were the catalyst for our own success.
Oh, that is pretty neat. So if anybody wants to follow along or get to know more information, tell us that website again, because you mentioned that website.
Microcapexplosions.com.
Microcapexplosions.com. It will be on the show notes for everybody to go in there, and just a short video. And I know Amari also has a YouTube channel. What is the name of the YouTube channel?
The best way is to go to Microcap Explosions, and there's a link to it, because spelling my name, it will take half an hour.
Spelling your name. All right. So where's your name? Where are you originally from?
I'm from Poland.
Poland. All right. I was going to say somewhere not in the U.S. And yeah. I was gonna be right. Somewhere not the U.S.
Yeah.
But awesome. So they can go to the website. There'll be the link to social media. It'll be a link to the video, YouTube, and all that, which is awesome. So you say you had a current project you're working on. Can you share that?
Yes. So it's a company that I recently went public with on my YouTube channel. It's called Globex. Globex Data. The ticker symbol is SWIS, like Swiss. And then, so that's the Canadian symbol, because it's trading in the Canadian Stock Exchange. And it's also trading on OTC market under ticket symbol SWIS, like Sam, and F, like Frank. So this one is very interesting, because if you're in real estate, when you're dealing with brokers or contracts, you have all these contracts and all this personal data being sent through emails. Okay, Yahoo, you sign a contract, you send it to your broker, and not many people pay attention to when you send an email through avenues like this, it's unsecure. It's like an open postcard. You can get hacked, your identity can be stolen, and things like that. So there's this company that has a secure email and messaging platform that is hosted in Switzerland. Why Switzerland? Because Switzerland has the best privacy laws in the world. And they don't data mine you like Google and Facebook. Data mine you, read everything you do, and they sell it to the highest bidder. They don't data mine you. There's no big tech platform. They're not involved with Amazon or Google, Facebook. They have their own platform. So what's unique about this, and I bought the service myself, is that if, let's say, I'm a real estate agent and you're buying a property from me, I can send you a contract. You fill out a contract, and I can send it to you two ways. I can send it to you like a regular send, or I can send it to you like a secure send, because the name of the product is called Secure, S-E-K-U-R. So I can send you the application through secure send. You get an invitation in your email. You click on the link, and it takes you to a browser where you can fill out the application and send it back to me through a secure reply. And what happens is that email never leaves the Swiss server. So your identity is absolutely protected. And as a real estate agent, I owe it to you. I owe you privacy. And most real estate agents, they don't care. They don't know. And they expose people's data. And then they also have a messenger. The same thing with messenger. When you have WhatsApp or you have Signal, let's say I wanted to send you the account number or my social security, because for whatever reason you need it, I'm not going to be comfortable sending it to you through a text. I'm not going to be comfortable sending you through WhatsApp, because I know WhatsApp is owned by Facebook and they read everything and data mine the heck out of you. So they have this solution, which is kind of like email and a secure messenger. So if you and I have a secure messenger, I can send you a text and I can send you whatever I want. And it's completely private. It's never open to the internet. And I can self-destruct the message so that it's completely deleted from the server. But if you don't have the secure messenger, I can still send you a text message through invite. So you get an invite and you open it. And again, it invites you to a browser, and then we can chat, and I can send you this confidential information. And then when I'm done, I can delete the conversation, and it's completely to the bone deleted from the server. So it's not hackable. It doesn't exist. So when I saw this product, I was like, wow, this could be a huge success, because I buy myself very little. You know, even though I have money, I don't drive an expensive car. I live very frugally. And when I buy something, it's important. And I can see why I bought it. So when I saw this product, it was this little company, didn't have a lot of money, came out with this product in the US. And when I introduced it to my group at Microcap Explosions, I was shocked that 20% of them bought it the moment I introduced it to them. So then I was like, wow, you know, there's something here. Like, people want this. Not everybody wants it, but some people want privacy. Some people connect with privacy, and their website is sekur.com. That's for the product. So that was the first introduction to me. It's like, okay, this could be big. So that's when I proposed to my group to do the same thing we did with Oracle by injecting them with capital so that they can have the money to go into the US and acquire subscribers, acquire customers that pay, because it costs $10 a month for this. But you see, you pay $10 a month, but you know you have privacy and you know that nobody's data mining you. So for some people, paying $100 or $120 per year is a cheap price for that freedom or for that peace of mind. I mean, I paid for it, so I understand why I did that. So we raised them some money. And because of our money, they were able to start promoting itself through like YouTubers, conservative YouTubers, that because conservative people tend to be more privacy oriented. So through YouTubers and then through a channel called Newsmax, they have some ads running. And then so what we saw is that after we injected them with a little bit of money, they started getting customers all day long, every day. I mean, it went from nothing to exploded. And I mean, exploded in a relative term because they didn't spend that much money. And then their subscriber base just exploded over 1,000% from one quarter to another. And so from the point of view of a user, if somebody pays you $10 a month and they pay you $100 a year or 120, let's just say 100, in the stock market, that kind of user or a company with this kind of revenue profile will be valued at $2,000, $2,000, $3,000, especially when they grow. Because when you get this kind of service, you stay for years and years. And
so it's $2,000 to $3,000 for that one user at $100 a month, right?
Right. That's how much the user is worth in the stock market. And guess how much it costs to acquire that user?
Well, I'm hoping you're saying like $20, $10. It's probably a lot of companies spend a lot of money.
About $50.
All right.
So look at the dynamics. You spent $50 to acquire a customer that's worth $3,000. You do this a lot and eventually you create a lot of value, right?
Yes, right.
So that's the idea. I said to my members, I said, look, let's raise them money. They're going to take our money and they're going to turn it into the subscribers. They're going to turn it into revenues, and those revenues are going to be valued at 20 times what we're giving them. And so that's what I'm involved in. And also what's so unique about it is that a service like a messenger or email, they have incredible profit margins. Like the messenger, because everything usually gets deleted because of the privacy, they have like 99% profit margins. And then the email has about 95% profit margins. So why is this important? Because we raised them a total of like $9 million through three separate capital injections. Okay. So now I'm going to talk about US dollars. So if we take $6 million of US dollars and we say, we're going to take this $6 million and we're going to invest it into marketing to get users, that $6 million will get them about 85,000 users, generating about $10 million of revenues. But because the margins are so huge, the company only needs $1 million to run itself. So in other words, 10 million minus 1 million, you have 9 million left that you can recycle back into buying more users, right? So then again, you take 9 million, you buy about 140,000 users. Now you have 140,000 and 85 from the prior year. Now you have over 200,000. Now you're generating 26 million in revenues. Remember, it still costs you about $1 million to run it. Now you have 23 million available to, and you do this for 6 years and you go from being a little tiny company to a $1 billion company. So that's why in my YouTube video, when I released it, I titled this Globex Data, a 100 beggar in the making. Because you do this for 7 years, the economics are like this, you make incredible amounts of money. This is the story that I'm involved right now with. And that's how I personally, I'm the biggest shareholder outside of the CEO. I invested about $1 million into it. And I truly believe in my heart that I will turn this into anywhere between $50 to $200 million based on the math that I presented to you.
Yeah, those are some great, great returns. I mean, but like you say, you do your research, takes you time, energy, and you're, you know, talking to CEOs, you're doing all the work. See, what I like is I like an easy button, right? So the easy button is to go to your website, right? And sign up. You can sign up for the YouTube channel, and then you can get, I'm assuming you can sign up to your newsletter as well.
That's right.
And so if there's anybody out there that wants that easy button, is that the best way to do it?
Yeah, that's right. You can go to Microcap Explosions and sign up for the service. And for the company that I just talked about, I am actually starting to talk about it on the public channel. So you don't even have to pay for that.
Ah, look at that. That's pretty neat. Well, Mario, I appreciate you being on the show. I always ask this question, and then we're going to go to the favorite part of the show. And I always ask, you know, tell the listeners out there, you did real estate, you've been in stocks. What has been one of the greatest challenges or greatest mistakes that you faced, and how did you overcome it?
The hardest challenge was getting involved in bad businesses. Okay. I had a period from 2012 to 2016 where I invested in gold mining stocks. And that was the biggest mistake in my life because those businesses are so terrible. I always say that the people running these companies are professional fuck-ups. And now when I get involved with businesses, I want to make sure that it's a good business, whether it's a property. It doesn't have to be good from the start, but I have to see that where they're going, it's going to be something good. I will not touch bad businesses again because bad businesses, no matter how good the management is, the quality of the business will always win out, or the bad quality of the business will always destroy them.
Oh, that's interesting. Got a bad product, doesn't matter how good the team is.
That's right. As Warren Buffett says, I would rather own a great business that even an idiot can run, because one day one will.
I've never heard that before. That is pretty funny. That's good. All right, Mario. So I'm going to send you over to the best part of the show. I have this roulette. It's called the Naked Truth Roulette. I'm just going to ask you three random questions, and it's nothing to do with business, real estate, just three personal questions. And I'm going to spin it, and we'll get to know you on a personal level. So let's go ahead and start the first question. All right. How do you feel about having pineapple on your pizza?
I never thought about it, but I would definitely be open to trying it.
So here in the U.S., I don't know if it's from Hawaii, but they call it the Hawaiian pizza, which is ham and pineapple. Anyways.
Wow. I mean, I love pizza. Pizza and burgers are my favorite food. I wish I could eat it every day and not get fat, but yeah, anything with pizza, I would be willing to try.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So what is your favorite band, song, or artist?
Now I have, I like Shakira.
Shakira. Yeah, you can't
go wrong. Yes, I do.
For sure. That's the first time I hear Shakira, but yeah, you cannot go wrong with Shakira. She got some good music in English and in Spanish. All right, here we go. Third question. Okay. So as a child, what was your favorite cartoon?
Smurfs.
The Smurfs?
Yes.
How about a particular Smurf? Do you remember the particular Smurf you liked the most?
I don't remember. I just liked the whole thing. It was, you know, like what? One of my favorite things I was waiting for.
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought about that in so many years, about the Smurfs, since you just mentioned it right now. But yes, I mean, I probably haven't thought about the Smurfs in 20 years until, or longer than that.
I haven't thought about it in 20 years until you asked me now.
The Smurfs is awesome. Thank you, Mario. You survived the Naked Truth Roulette. Thank you so much for answering those questions. And any last words you want to say to the audience before we let you go?
I think that whatever type of investing you are involved in, there are many ways to make money, many ways to do it in real estate, many ways to do it in the stock market. I would just say to people, whatever way you choose, just think for yourself, think independently, be okay with doing the work on your own and thinking for yourself. You don't have to have everybody agreeing with you. If you do the work, it works for you, just go for it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great advice. And thanks again, everybody, for listening. My name is Javier Hinojo. Go follow Mario on his social media. Check out his YouTube channel. And don't lose your shirt. Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback, not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel Or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks for everybody. It's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's really cool. Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.